The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
I don't know if anybody's interested, but they captured an Al-Qaeda guy in Iraq. But I guess, you know, there's no real linkage. They just... Iraq is nice this time of year. They vacation there. And, oh, I know what it is. When we started the war in Iraq, that made all the terrorists get really bad. Before that, they were okay, but we started all of that stuff. Hi, everybody. It's Phil Henry, and welcome to I Hate Life. No, I'm okay. I'm all right. My wife is off right now setting up a love nest for us somewhere at the beach. I guess I'm supposed to meet her at a hotel tonight. It's going to be great. It's going to be a beautiful thing. So I can't wait to freaking get off the air. I can't wait to get this over with and out of here so I can go there and let the party begin. But until then, I've got a couple of things to say about a couple of things. Tonight we're going to have, by the way, a young man who works at a car wash in the San Fernando Valley who has a very interesting question in terms of law. Is pilfering from cars that you're washing, is that against the law or is that just helping yourself to a gratuity? Also coming up tonight, we have, who else? I forget. Oh, well, Chris is out of the room right now. We're going to have another guy, and he's going to be talking about something else. That's coming up tonight. I guarantee I'll give it to you in a second here, but Janice is in Canada, Chris is getting coffee, and we're all together here tonight. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. No kidding, they found an Al-Qaeda guy in Iraq. You know, anyone that thinks Iraq is a mess, seriously, anyone that thinks the effort in Iraq is a mess or is a disaster or is a quagmire, put your hand up if you think what's happening in Iraq with American troops, our involvement there, is it a quagmire, is it a mess, is it a disaster? Put your hand up. All you guys? Okay. None of you know anything about history, and none of you, barely any of you, probably read contemporary issue newspaper magazines on a regular basis. That's right. Now, I know you may think that you're informed. Your knowledge of history is nil. Doesn't exist. Iraq today is a place that the United States... that was a disaster waiting to happen no matter what you wanted to, call it. Now, today I got John Kerry here, who's the new front runner in the Democratic Party race for a presidential nominee, talking about how the veterans are disrespected, and he's beginning to position himself. John Kerry hasn't yet figured out exactly what he needs to say to distinguish himself from President Bush, because the two, I think, basically believe the same thing. I think Kerry totally agrees with what is going on in Iraq, but had to say that he didn't dig it at the beginning because he's a Democrat. Seriously. And he didn't want to look like Joe Lieberman, because Joe Lieberman is just some old Jew, right? And John Kerry, he comes from farm country, so he don't want to look like he's supporting that old guy. But then he didn't want to look like he's supporting Bush. So when the Iraq war started, Kerry came out with a new kind of lame-ass point of view, which was, we shouldn't go, but we should go, but it's not a good idea, but it is a good idea, but no, on second thought, no, it isn't a good idea. Then we went. Then he criticized what we're doing there. You're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. I would do this wrong. I wouldn't do that. That's his platform. You like it? Go ahead. Vote for it. This is one Democrat here. It ain't going to do it. Pardon me, but I got better things to do than throw my vote away on a confused man like that. And when I say confused, oh, my God. Lady said to me, read the man's stand on the issues. Okay. You know what his stand on the issues are, Kerry? Kerry had no real agenda regarding home security before 9/11. Then after 9/11 happened, everybody naturally jumped on the bandwagon. Democrats didn't come up with an idea called the Office of Homeland Security. It was a Republican president who did that. I'm, sorry to say. But once he did, then every cat who calls himself a Democrat started weighing in on what was wrong with it and how they'd make it better. When it comes to securing the ports, right, nobody's got any ideas. Bush comes up with a bunch of ideas. Kerry jumps in and says what's wrong with it and how he'd do it better. He'd make invisible containers. Isn't that the thing? Oh, my God. See-through boxes. That's his big improvement, see? The guy can't quite come out and say that the war in Iraq blows because he's got a lot of veteran support. So what he does say, you know, he manipulates the veteran issue, which is always, let me tell you something about the veteran issue. I've learned this over 30 some odd years in this business. If you want to, if you're a talk show host who is basically untalented and can't pull a phone call for love or money, start talking about veterans issues and here come the phones, right? Let me tell you about veterans issues. It's a highly emotional issue, one that is not really of interest to most Americans. I'm not saying that people don't care about their veterans, but it's a sad, sad story. A veteran coming home who needs medical help, and most Americans don't want to, they don't want to see it. They just got, don't we have a VA hospital, put them there, and they don't want to see, they don't want to see the guy in a wheelchair. When they see a guy sitting there in a wheelchair, they see a guy that maybe it could have been them, right? So then they feel small, or they feel like a coward that they didn't go. Or they see a veteran who is, you know, got one leg or one arm or one eye, and it could have been them, and look what he did, and, you know, and we're living large here in this country, and we realize we owe most of it, if not all of it, to those guys, and it's a tough thing to look at, right? So along comes every 4 years the veteran issue. And a guy like Kerry, he's beautiful. He manipulates it. He gets on the bandwagon. Do you think for 1 minute? You don't really believe that the veteran thing is going to, the veteran is going to be treated better with him as president, do you? We've had Democrats as presidents, Republicans as presidents, war veterans as presidents. The freaking VA is a disaster. Always has been, and it always will be. Until people out there in America start giving a crap, instead of just going to parades and raising a flag on Memorial Day and raising a salute and some old guy coming down the road with a pith helmet on and said he was with Teddy Roosevelt at what was the mountain he went up? Some, you know, those old guys that used to see him wearing those Smokey the Bear hats going, I was with Teddy Roosevelt in 98. All right, that's fine. Just go ahead and sit down. You're like Shotgun Tom Kelly over at K-Earth. Shotgun Tom was with Teddy. He wears that Smokey the Bear hat. And we went up the hill and Jesus H. All right, that's fine. You want a drink? Hell yeah. All right, babe. Now you're talking my language, baby. But nothing changes. So here comes Kerry's going to jump on that one and milk that one. And the sappy American people, they ain't going to buy it, I don't think. See, here's what happened to Dean. I saw a guy today on the news. Oh, this was beautiful. You should have seen this. The guy goes, a couple of real brain surgeons on Fox, right? The guys, they get together with those roundtable discussions. Anyway, this moron says, you know something? I really think that in a lot of ways the media is responsible for this Howard Dean disaster. But I mean, we misread it. We misread it. What did you misread? Well, we had him on the cover of every magazine. We had him on the cover of every newspaper. We love an underdog. We love a guy who's an outsider. He was kind of sparring with the president. We really like that. So we really built the guy up. Yeah, come to find out with that Iowa caucus, nobody gave two hoots about this guy. No one gave two dry farts about Howard Dean. Honest to God. I mean, the cat was, like, loud and sort of dumb-sounding and interesting. I told you months ago, I said the guy was a blithering idiot. I'm not saying he's not a bright man. I know he's a doctor. I understand he's an educated man. When it comes to the, you know, actually believing you could be president because you were representing some mainstream thought, the guy is clueless. All of a sudden, Iowa happens. Now these dumbasses on Fox and CNN and everywhere else are going, Jesus, you mean nobody really likes it? No, no one likes the guy. What the hell have we been trying to tell you this? Well, I thought he was really an attractive candidate. An attractive candidate? Why, man? Because you went to some function in Hollywood where they handed out sandwiches with the crust cut off, and you know, you got all impressed with the, you know, the white wine. Look, dude, do yourself a favor. Don't ever, ever stay too long at a party that only serves white wine. Do you understand? Finally. I got it. Okay. Now get off to that freaking, what is it? Isn't the groundhog coming up? Go over there. I got you on that one. Punxsutawney Phil. So that's what happened to him. Now along comes this cat Kerry, Vietnam veteran. Yes, he is. Everybody likes to jump on that. You know, Al Gore was a Vietnam veteran. We've had a great many veterans. I personally like a war veteran for my president. I like a... John Kennedy was a combat veteran. Lyndon Johnson had World War II experience. Richard Nixon was in the South Pacific. Gerald Ford, I believe, wasn't he? Or was he a pretty boy at... Well, Eisenhower was a general. Yeah, do you think he had combat experience? I know Eisenhower. Of course, he's like, what about Eisenhower? Well, I don't think he saw any combat. I think, well, actually, he probably didn't. He sat, like, somewhere in the rear in a tent with binoculars going, okay, there's four more Krauts to the left. To the left, you idiot! Yeah. Hey, Bob, any more of those lucky strikes? Light one for me, will you? And then Carter was in the Navy. He was on a nuclear submarine. Reagan, excuse me, what military experience did he have? Conservatives love Reagan. He was working in Hollywood. They gave him a colonel's uniform, and he sat and he narrated dirty movies or something. I don't know. He sat and narrated, like, stag movies for the troops overseas. And here she comes, Bouncing Lily. Look at those fans go, huh, boys? Well, this is Ron Reagan saying, remember 20 Mule Team Borax. And then, now, Jimmy Stewart, there was a guy, that guy, you know that guy Jimmy Stewart, the actor? That guy flew bombing missions. That cat was the real deal. He said, when I go in, I want to go in just as a buck private. And they said, okay. He said, well, I'm just kidding. Can you make me a colonel? He said, sure. And then they stuck him in an airplane. He bombed the hell out of Germany. Good for you, Jimmy, wherever you are. Oh, he's dead? Way to do it, baby! And then It's a Wonderful Life. Then he came home and made that. Cat did everything. So Kerry's got all that Vietnam experience. Good for him. And that questionable encounter with those Vietnamese villagers, you know, I don't hold that against him, man. I bet you they were a real pain in the ass to deal with. We're here to liberate you. Now, if you don't want it, that's fine, okay? But if I find hand grenades in that rice, or whatever the hell else was in that movie Platoon, I'm going to say all that stuff that Tom Berenger did. And like that. Shut up. And he killed a bunch of gooks. That's what they did. John Kerry went to Vietnam and killed some gooks. Ain't that what you're supposed to do? Comes back here, gets religion. Goes in front of the Congress, says the whole war blows like nobody knew it at that time. By 1973, the entire people of the United States knew that the Vietnam War was a disaster. We got to get out. Well, I mean, nobody wanted in. Everybody, even my father, Mr. Conservative, Army guy. So Kerry gets religion, he becomes anti-establishment, becomes anti-military, but when it's convenient for him, he starts whipping out those military credentials, and when it gets even more convenient for him, he starts whipping out the veterans issues, which is the worst, most manipulative thing you can possibly do when you don't really mean it. And believe me, he don't mean it, man. He don't mean it, not that he's a bad guy. He don't mean it any more than anybody else means it. Our veterans need to be treated better. Oh, Jesus, that one again? I think it's going to be good in the speech. Look, John, I told you already, okay? You look like Dr. Death. I told you to use the freaking Stridex medicated pad. You didn't listen to me. But the veteran thing. You're going to do the veteran thing again, huh? Yeah, because we can get. All right, so that means all your friends with tubes coming out of their rear ends at the VA, they're going to vote for you. That's six guys. Now who? You know, you don't know what we went through in Vietnam. I understand. I don't know what you went through in Vietnam, okay? Why don't you tell them? Don't get on the veteran thing. Okay? And quit going to the VA, man, for your complexion, okay? That's not covered under the freaking GI Bill or anything else. Pimples is not a thing you got in Vietnam.
Well, I tried it.
Yeah. You got the Purple Heart for what? Zits? Oh, okay. Jesus. 1-800-449-8686. Dave Oliva and Dean Wheeler from Northern California. Dean is passing out pictures of an Iraqi baby blown to bits with a sign that says, George Bush did this. He's passing it out at middle schools. That's right, to your children. We're going to talk to him about it. We're also going to find out that it's really not a picture of an Iraqi child blown to bits. He took 2 pounds of 20% fat sirloin and threw it on a sidewalk and photographed that. We're going to find out why this animal is still walking among us. Coming up on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's not news. It's The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dave Oliva is with us tonight. He works at a car wash in the San Fernando Valley where he believes pilfering, that is taking change from trays in the car, taking a CD, maybe even helping yourself to a cigarette, is an acceptable helping yourself to a gratuity when he realizes the people pulling in those expensive cars are too snobby to actually give him the tip. We'll talk to him about that. And we also have Dean Wheeler, who will discuss with us the this campaign of showing kids, American kids, a baby that was blown to bits by an American mortar, only to find out, actually, it's hamburger that he threw down on a sidewalk. It just makes me sad, that's all. It just makes me sad, if it wasn't so funny. 1-800-449-8686, the number here. Pamela Mackey, I guess, was in court bothering everybody again today with her all of her antics. Pamela Mackey, the attorney for Kobe Bryant, she said the reason why they're charging him is because he's black, see? So you know she's going to pull that one. What are you surprised? You knew she was going to pull that one out? Now, here's why I believe that at times that's a very credible argument, and here's why I believe at times it's not a credible argument. First of all, a black man and a white woman is no. It's not accepted by the hierarchy of American society, and the hierarchy of American society still are white men. Now, even though I know, yeah, you like to think that you're oppressed. You guys still run things. Don't worry about it. Quit crying. You know we're still running the show, and you know that a lot of you guys don't like to see a white chick with a black guy. Now, that's just all there is to it. It's facts. So we've had a lot of African-American men down through the years lynched, murdered, put on trial for a crime they never committed because they happened to wink at a white girl and didn't even know her. They just don't like a black guy looking at their white woman, so they lynched the guy. And there is a feeling by Ms. Mackey, let me check that. Ms. Mackey thinks she can sell that one. She thinks she'll be able to, she thinks that one's got legs. Now, I think in a lot of cases, it's very true. In this case, however, I think what we got here, folks, isn't so much a black man, although we do have a black man. We got a real rich guy, a celebrity. Let's not forget that other part of the equation here. A very wealthy man. This ain't Emmett Till, some poor kid off a bean field somewhere with a public defender who doesn't know what the hell is happening and doesn't know why and is about to be railroaded for something he didn't do and lynched. No. This is a wealthy, wealthy man with the very finest scumbag, the finest attorney that money can buy. And this girl who is alleged to have been raped by him, she's got the Eagle County DA. I don't mean to disrespect the man, but I'm sure he's a fine attorney. He doesn't have the resources. Eagle County, Colorado, don't have Kobe Bryant's bread. Can you dig that? Is that heavy or what? I mean, he's got more money than the county. Which means, basically, he's got a better attorney. He can afford more. He can hire as many lawyers as he wants. That's the difference. When you start whipping out the old race card in that direction, even black folks start arching their eyes and saying, oh, well, why don't you just, I tell you what, put on your softball uniform and get out of here. I think what Kobe ought to do is buy Eagle County. That way he can just, well, all you white people out of here, except you, honey, and you, Pamela, everybody out, and it is now declare this a white-free zone. No more railroad jobs on these rape deals, okay? All the ball players coming into town? It's party time! So that's the latest today from Eagle County. The trial is scheduled to start when? The Michael Jackson trial is scheduled to start. Is it next week? Or is that Scott Peterson? See, Peterson's been delayed again, but, okay. So they need a new judge, yeah, because the guy they have is 104, and he drinks. And they finally said, you know, I don't know, man, is that a good idea or not? Why not? What's wrong with that? Well, okay, does he wear anything under the robe? I don't know. Okay. Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, time for a walk down memory lane on the Phil Henry Show. This is when we go to a remote point in the distant past, all the way back to February 6, 2003, way back. Dear Phil, these are requests from our listeners. This one comes to us from Craig in Miami. Phil, could you please play the flashback of Scott Peterson on vacation at a bar when he should be looking for his missing wife and kid? I haven't heard anything so funny before or afterward in my entire life. Says a lot about your show, doesn't it, Phil? Ha ha. I'm kidding. I just added that one part. I've been a fan of the show for 2 years now, and I feel bad that I didn't catch your show when it first started. Thanks, Phil. Love you. Craig in Miami. Here it is. Scott Peterson on vacation at a bar when he should be looking for his missing wife and kid. This was when she was still missing? This is from way before February 6, 2003. The woman went missing in, when did she go missing?
Let me check, Phil.
Thank you. Here it is, Scott Peterson. Scott Peterson, as you know, is the husband of the missing woman, Lacey Peterson, who was last seen December the 24th. She went to walk her dog. He went fishing up at the Berkeley Marina in Northern California. When he returned, he says that Lacey wasn't there. He doesn't know where she is. Funny, he sold her car, tried to sell her house, and yesterday on our show, asked us if anybody wanted a nice dog. So, Mr. Peterson, I... Where are you now, sir?
I'm in Mexico.
You're in Mexico. How nice.
I'm on a business trip. Thank you very much. I'm on a business trip. Because the conclusion you want to jump to is I'm down here partying.
Well, I'm hearing music. I'm listening. Where are you?
I've stopped to have something cold to drink. I've been walking up and down the streets of Cabo, giving Lacey's picture to all the merchants.
In case she's down in Mexico, huh?
Yeah, maybe if she got... You know something? It would be nice to talk to you without your cynicism. It would be nice...
I don't believe she's in... I don't think you're down in Mexico. Look, you say you're in Mexico looking for your wife.
I've been passing out her picture, yes.
Is there anybody there with you?
Why do you ask?
Well, I want to know if there's any proof that you're actually passing out pictures, or are you sitting down there in Sammy Hagar's bar having yourself a couple of cold ones?
No, I'm not down in Sammy Hagar. I'm passing out Lacey's picture. No, there's no one with me.
Nobody?
No one... That I brought from the United States? Is that what you're asking?
Is there any human being with you from any part of the world?
Boy, you're something else.
No, really, is there any human being with you?
There's a very nice woman who's helping me.
I see. And she's from, let me guess, Mexico?
Well, where do you think she'd be from? You said that there's no Americans. There's no Americans. Yes, she's a nice young Mexican lady. And she's helping me pass out the pictures of Lacey. Because I miss my wife very much, and I want her back.
Oh, God, you sicken me with your phony baloney tears. You know that? Hey, Scott, I want to...
Well, you see, you've never lost a wife, so you don't know how painful it can be.
No, because I never killed my wife.
There you go again. There you go again. You're just begging for a lawsuit. You know, that's what I like about you, Phil. You walk on the wild side.
Hey, Scott, let me see. How much did you pay that grocery clerk in Longview, Washington, to lie about claiming to see Lacey, or are you boffing her, too?
You want to know something? The money I paid her was a reason... I mean, I didn't pay anybody...
Aha! You paid her, didn't you?
No, I didn't. No,
are you boffing her?
I don't know what you mean by boff. You know you have a vile mouth.
Oh, I got a vile mouth. You don't know what I mean by boff, but a young Mexican lady is helping you pass out pictures of Lacey.
Yes, she is. And she's a nice lady.
What's her name?
What's your name?
Well, yeah, see, now you got to ask her.
No, I did not. I asked her if I... Her name is... What? Her name...
Yeah, you're asking her, huh?
I don't speak Spanish. What's your name?
Yeah.
What are you driving at anyway?
You don't know her name, man. You just gave her a $50 bill.
I gave her a 20. I mean, I did not give her any money. And
all right, a 20.
No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did not.
I want to ask you something because I hear that your parents, not your parents, her parents, the car that you sold, they bought back for a dollar.
Look, you say that Stacy's parents bought the car back. Fine, great, I don't know. I just needed room for the boat, that's all. That's why I get it out of the driveway. I'm glad. You know what? It touches me. It really...
Yeah, it really touches you, huh?
No, now that you tell me, a tear is coming to my eye. Thank God. Thank God they bought it back. Because now I can go over to their house and look at it, and it reminds me of
your wife?
Yeah, of my wife. And it reminds me...
And what's her name again?
You know, I had it here somewhere. Lacey. It reminds me of Lacey. Is that, or is it Gracie?
I'm not going to tell you. What's her name?
I think it's Gracie, isn't it?
No, it's Lacey.
Well, now you're lying because you just want to confuse me. It's Stacy, isn't it?
No, it's Lacey.
I'm going to have to get a paper.
Yeah, you look in a paper to find out what your wife's name is.
The fact that I'm innocent and I'm on business in Mexico and I'm having fun and you're not, that's what's pissing you off.
Hey, Scott, 30% of all women murdered are murdered by their husbands. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I think it's a threat. I didn't, it's not good. Wait a second. Now, that means you think I killed my wife?
Bingo! 30% of all women murdered are murdered by their husbands. Now, how do you feel about that?
You know something, pal? I'm in Mexico. I'm going to knock myself off a piece, have some breakfast, and then I'm going to, you know, have a cocktail. And I'll feel sorry for you. Now, I'd like to ask, hey, there's OJ. Get an autograph, OJ. Yo!
There you go. There's a memory lane from February 2003. So he hadn't been arrested yet. So that's, that was very prescient. Prussian, I think, is the word. It's very Prussian of us to play that bit. Scott Peterson sitting on his ass in Mexico. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. Got something to tell you here about Margaret Cho in a minute. You know who she is? She's that comic who was there with all the other comics, and she was saying that Bush is a piece of crap or whatever. Anyway, Moby was just in a screaming fit that she got more email than he did because she was more interesting, and he was dull as a lumberman's axe. He was just as dull as hell when he opened his fat trap, but when she says something, it's kind of interesting, right? It may not be funny, but it's interesting. Okay, here is Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Phil.
How are you?
Pretty good. I love your show.
Thanks.
I'm a high school junior, and I'm just calling about your politics. Like, I tend to agree with your politics, but I consider myself to be a conservative Republican or maybe even libertarian. And I'm just curious why you consider yourself, like, a Democrat.
Well, I am a believer in that government is not a huge evil entity that doesn't do any good. I believe that government is a entity that can and has done great good. We've seen evidence of it time and again. Frankly, there was nobody in Little Rock, Arkansas back in the early 50s but federal troops that allowed those kids to go to an integrated school. Time and again, we've seen the intervention of the federal government that saved people's lives, that saved the civil rights of people. The Civil War is an example of that. A lot of what happened in the 60s is an example of that. The mission to the moon is an example of how government can coalesce, you know, private enterprise for good things. World War II is one of the greatest examples where daycare and transportation to and from work and things that we wish we had today was standard. Where I live in Los Angeles, defense plant workers could have their babies in a daycare center. There was housing for them. They had transportation to and from. All of that brought about by a partnership between government and business.
True.
I believe that's why I call myself an old-fashioned Roosevelt Democrat, and my party has completely lost its way. It doesn't know what it stands for anymore. That's what I believe we stand for. It doesn't mean we can't go out and kick some ass.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm totally in favor of the president's war on terror. And just so you know, Andrew, it's an interesting statistic that I like to throw out every now and again. 80% of the mainstream of Democratic voters agree with the war on terror.
Really?
Yeah. The Democratic leadership is so completely and utterly lost that they really believed Howard Dean was going to be a cat that people were going to be with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, man, did they blow it. And, you know, all of the guys that, you know, all the news pundits did, too.
Right. So, really, just that you don't believe in, like a smaller government, like a libertarian or Republican is really...
I don't think that smaller government necessarily is a good thing. Because, for instance, you downsize government, and what do you do when a guy is pumping his polluting, noxious fumes out of his factory into the air?
Mm-hmm.
Who goes to him to say, stop it?
Right.
Today, we take for granted the fact that we have a right to protect our health that way. Mm-hmm. If you're a worker and you're breathing dangerous fumes in your workplace, is there an OSHA? Is there an Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration you can go to and say, you know, hey, I mean, this is an unsafe place for me. Government, smaller government, like I say, man, I mean, smaller government is a dangerous thing.
Right, but you do agree larger government can be a dangerous thing as well.
Well, yeah, because then you've got, you know, then you've got Stalinist Russia or you've
right,
got
exactly.
Adolf Hitler. Yeah, I mean, government is not there to tell me how to live. Government works for me. It is my representative. And what I cannot do for myself, I reach out to my representatives and I reach out to the machinery of my government to help me accomplish. It doesn't make me, I'm a working man. You are, you know, you will be someday.
Right.
I pay my taxes. I, you know, and I said this after 9/11 and during the Iraq war, people say, you know, I love American people. I just hate your government. And that, I said, you know what? I don't ever want to hear that again because my government's me. You know, whether I voted for it or not, it's me.
Right.
If you hate my government, you hate me. I'm an American, and nowhere in the world is it truer that a man's government is the man than in this country. So it's like, I don't know, I look at the government as a place where I go. It's a resource center, man. It's a place we can go and get action.
True.
And so that's it at its best. At its worst, yeah, it tries to throw money at problems. You know, the Johnson Great Society, huge mistake,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, I can appreciate your views, and, you know, it's good to know that there's a rational Democrat.
Well, you know, I mean, I talk to a lot of people who are Republicans who, when I say these things, they say, hey, that sounds like a pretty good party. I wouldn't mind joining that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's to me what the Democratic Party was always about.
Yeah.
And hey, you know, and we even took time out to drop a couple of A-bombs on Japan. You know, those were Democratic presidents that did that. I'm not necessarily proud of the dead civilians under those A-bombs, but I'm glad that we did it, and those were Democrats that led that charge. So this idea now that because you're a Democrat, you can't pick up a gun and fight for your country is offensive to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a gun owner. What's wrong with that, man? I mean, the amendment says I can. Yeah, you know? And frankly, as a Democrat and a guy who believes, you know, in the protection of civil liberties, the only way to deal with a racist is with a gun, in my opinion. So there's a lot of things that, for some reason, as Democrats, we just gave up on it because it wasn't like, you know, it didn't address our needs of the moment, and that was to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get elected, what the hell do you stand for? Well, I don't know.
Right.
Whatever the Republicans don't.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it seems like, I mean, you know, Bush isn't exactly the most conservative, but it's, you know, I tend to agree with him on a lot of things, but you know, I can see where you were just coming from, and it's good.
Well, you know what, you know, man, and I don't want to bore you, but I'll just say this: you know, politics is the art of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You can't become president of the United States and not try to reach out to everybody. Once cats become president, you'll notice that they get moderate, man. I mean, because you know what, we like it that way in America. We want our presidents moderate.
Right.
And we like gridlock, because that means that no one side is running the show. I mean, Americans are comfortable with that. Once we say we get a guy into office who's a real liberal or a real conservative, that guy mainstreams up pretty damn fast.
All right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, remember that it was Dwight Eisenhower who sent those federal troops to Little Rock, a Republican president. It was Dwight Eisenhower who put Earl Warren on the Supreme Court that all of his pals said was way too freaking liberal. I mean, you know, because you're there, you're now the chief executive of the country, the top law enforcement officer. You got to enforce the law. So now you realize whether you like the law or not, you have to enforce it, and you have to be a president to everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, Andrew. Now I want a paper on all of this tomorrow. And can you
enough work?
Anyway, pal, did I talk too much?
No, I mean that's cool.
What school do you go?
They cleared it up.
What school do you go?
Moravian Academy.
Raving Maniac Academy.
Moravian Academy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's sweet. All right.
All right.
Thanks
a lot,
brother.
Phil.
I'll see you later.
See ya.
Dude was in high school. I thought it'd take some time to, My son, my eldest son, I just want to say this. Good for you, man. He finally got rid of that chick that was driving him nuts. I got home last night. My kids gave me Spinal Tap, the DVD with the commentary, which is like just strangling funny. I mean, you'll strangle it, so funny. And I listened to it, so I thanked the kids last night, and then they're all talking to me about their girlfriends. And I'm like, look, I just, you know, I don't want to get that touchy-feely, okay? I'm your stepdad, not your dad. Anyway, I'm kidding. I love you guys. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on our show, we have Dean Wheeler, who will talk to us about, you know, George Bush's war machine and all this crap. And then we're going to talk with Dave Oliva about how he steals out of cars that he cleans at the car wash and how it's technically legal because it's a gratuity. Moby, you know who this guy is? Moby's a dancer, techno dancer, singer, all around just, you know, fringe artist who is desperately trying to break into the mainstream. Anyway, he's upset with Matt Drudge. Why? Because Matt Drudge quoted Margaret Cho. Why? Because Margaret Cho said a bunch of really stupid, unfunny stuff about George Bush that, you know, included, you know, the Hitler references. And just, it was this lame get-together of entertainers, as they do, and they all sound as if they're really threatened by the Patriot Act, when you and I both know that you and I are more likely to lose our jobs because we made a slant-eye joke than Margaret Cho is ever going to be arrested for the Patriot Act, right? Seriously. Seriously. Moby's upset because Margaret Cho got a whole bunch of hate mail. I'll tell you why he's upset, because she got the mail and he didn't. Hey, Moby, what business is it of yours? What, are you friends with her all of a sudden? What is it? What's the name Moby mean again? As in dick? Is that what I'm supposed to take from that? Margaret Cho got a bunch of hate mail. You get hate mail. Believe me, in this business, you get people that hate your living guts. Talk about hate mail. I get that stuff daily. Anyway, Margaret Cho gets it, and it's a capital crime. I guess somebody's got to be taken out and shot for it, according to Moby. He says that Margaret Cho, by the way, is Lenny Bruce-style confrontational humor. You know, if Margaret Cho is Lenny Bruce-style, Moby, then I guess what do we say about you? You're what, Gene Kelly-style? I mean, what are you talking about, man? Lenny Bruce will go down in history as an original thinker. Margaret Cho has never said anything original in her life. In her life. I want to say this again. This is really important to hear. Because a lot of you don't want to accept this as the truth, but this is the truth about America today. It is more likely, far more likely, 100 times, probably 1,000 times more likely that I'll lose my gig and be on the street without a job because I make fun of Margaret Cho and because I draw into it her references to her own Asian background, right? So somebody will twist that and say I'm a racist, all right? It's more likely I'll get fired and lose my job for that than Margaret Cho will ever even remotely be in trouble under the Patriot Act. Now, that's the reality of the world we're living in. And when these Hollywood stars get up and start talking about the Patriot Act being a threat, they ain't talking about them. Those dudes, man, this ain't the 50s. Nobody's going to put them in jail. Okay, unless, of course, they're, you know, smoking crack with an undercover officer, then I think, you know, maybe, don't you think? All right, I tell you what, let's take a poll vote. You think that we should put people in jail for doing this?
Phil Henry Show, brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
What do you call George Bush's war machine?
That is exactly what it is, Phil. The Bush war machine continues to roll on, and the media may have drummed Howard Dean out of this race, but we are still going to keep Howard uppermost in our mind. We think there's great momentum.
I don't think it's possible.
Well, I think it is possible that, and otherwise, many more children, Phil, and I think this is really the bottom line of what we're saying, many more children are going to die in Iraq before the elections, and if we can save just one of them by stopping the George Bush war machine.
Dean, what about Kerry? If you want a guy who's against George Bush.
John Kerry is a war criminal who had a hand in the slaughter of Vietnamese women and children. I don't think so.
Well, that is a strong assessment, but I will tell you this much. Your boy Dean...
He's not my boy, and
I don't mean disrespect, but he's not going to be nominated.
Well, I think if, our alternative solutions retreat, Phil, we're going to middle schools, we're going to junior schools, we're going to junior high schools, we're going to high schools, and these are kids who can understand what we're handing out to them.
Now, you're handing out a picture, and I have it right here, that is without a doubt one of the most horrific things I have ever seen.
I'd like to explain it, Phil.
All right, but first of all, I want to tell people what it is, okay? It's of a dead child killed by, you claim, an American mortar or a bomb blast of some kind, with the words above the picture, George Bush did this. Now, how can you in good conscience give something like this to a minor child? I mean, they are going to...
Well, let me interrupt you, Phil, first of all. And I understand what you're saying, and I have two sons of my own, so please understand, I recognize the concern of the people listening to you and of your own. And believe me, I know. But the George Bush war machine can only be slowed down by regular people. If the middle school kids and the high school kids that we're handing this picture to see it and begin to become emotional and even hysterical in front of their parents because of the picture, it drives the message home to the parents of how right I am and what a horror this war is and how much we need Howard Dean in the White House.
You're giving the kids a horrific... By the way, we're talking here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Alternative Solutions Retreat. This picture of a this is a child that has been obviously terribly maimed by this bomb. You're giving kids this picture that's a baby basically blown apart with the words George Bush did this above it so that they'll cry in front of their parents and then the parents will want to get George Bush out of the White House.
Absolutely. And I didn't want to do this, but people, believe me, Phil, you're thinking I caused this and I didn't cause this. People making fun of Howard Dean caused this. People laughing at Howard Dean and saying he sounded like, I heard someone say he sounded like Winston Churchill's old fag. That's what I heard. And once somebody said he sounded like a fag hag and this kind of thing, because the man got emotional. And
all right, so people made fun of Howard Dean's scream. You're saying forced you into giving kids a picture of an Iraqi baby murdered. I think that's giving up responsibility.
Phil, the other night when they made it made me angry. When they made and it made me resolve to myself and my wife Terry was there and we'd get Bush out of the White House and we'd get Howard Dean in. If that means showing children blown to bits by a bomb, then that's what it's going to take. And
what if showing that child? What if showing a kid that makes them traumatized? What if that hurts the kid you're showing? You understand what I'm saying, Dean? In other words,
no. I think the kids today, they're going to cry. They're not going to be traumatized. These are kids who've grown up on Grand Theft Auto and they've seen their fathers sexually abuse their sisters. It'll make them sad, but they'll get over it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Alternative Solutions Retreat. They're doing handouts in Northern and Southern California and in parts of the East Coast and Midwest, a picture of a baby blown to bits with the words George Bush did this over the top of it. I'm a parent, and you give that picture to my child, just regardless of what I think of the war.
And I'm well aware of the fact that you support the war, Mr. Henry.
Okay, does that mean that my kid has to be abused by you?
Excuse me.
Because that's what I think it is. I think
you're not going to call me a child abuser. Okay, George Bush is the one who, look at the people listening to your broadcast right now and yourself, Mr. Henry, and I say this with great respect because I'm a person who believes in dialogue. I do not believe in confrontation. But I don't know if it's a concept that you and your listeners will understand that I care so much for the children of America. I want to show them a picture of a baby mutilated. I want them to see that because I love them. And I want them to see.
Why? Because that's what George Bush did?
Yes, George Bush did that. Once they see that, then they'll know that I'm right. And that Howard Dean, but they caused it. And don't ever blame me. They caused it.
I think it's abdicating responsibility in the stupidest possible way, sir.
Please don't call me stupid. What I'm saying to you, Phil, is that making fun of Howard Dean forced my hand. I never would have done this had they not made fun of Howard Dean.
Well, he screamed like a woman, you know. It wasn't presidential. People made fun of it. Whatever, okay? You hand out pictures of a dead Iraqi child.
And then we time it so that as soon as they look at the picture... And we're very proud of Howard. We call it the war yell. And as soon as the kids see the picture, we let out a great, proud Howard Dean war yell.
When a child sees this?
Yes.
Demonstrate it.
Well, I can't. He just went, yeah, like that.
So as soon as a kid's eyes fall on this pile of what looks like just red meat, and I forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, but it's just to hand this to kids.
And yeah, and then we say, vote Howard Dean. But I never would have done it had they not made fun of him. You tell your parents to vote for Howard Dean or this kind of thing, and this is the message we want to get home to the kids so desperately. Unless they vote for Howard Dean, what you see in this photograph could happen to you, a younger sister, or your new baby brother that your mother just brought home from the hospital, or something like that. It is a direct action campaign. It is done with love and caring. And I have principle, and I'll tell you why, Phil. I'm from San Francisco.
In the Mill Valley area?
Yes, and we live in San Francisco. As a result of that, we have a bit healthier lifestyle. We're more aware of life. Our children are not... The kids that grow up in the Bay Area are more prone to enjoy a bike ride than they will paintball. We're a little more aware of life than the typical meat-eating Americans, so, who are led like cows anyway down a slaughter ramp by George Bush.
All right, 1-800-449. I'm angry, you know that.
Well, frankly, Phil, I'm sorry you're angry, but you and all of you people that made fun of Howard Dean and the media censors pictures like these without me, kids won't learn the truth about what the president's done with the media censoring these things.
You don't care what happens to these kids.
I care very much what happens to them. Showing them this picture will get Howard Dean elected, and then the kids will know that I was right.
All right, let me go to Eleanor. Eleanor, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686 with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to let this gentleman know that what he is saying is totally out of line. I work with little young people who have been traumatized by things like this in their early childhood. They don't forget these things. They remember these things, and it traumatizes them for their whole life. It just doesn't go away.
Did you see Howard Dean being made fun of?
No, I did not see Howard Dean being made fun of.
I think you should have seen that to know my motivation. They made fun of him.
Excuse me,
by
sir.
By laughing at him.
Excuse me, sir. You are an adult. That man is an adult. What you are doing, are you a destroying children's lives?
I think, Eleanor, you have your radio turned up, don't you?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, you need to turn it down for us.
Well, Phil, I'd like to comment on what the lady said. I'm showing the reality of war, what happens when you're blown apart.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
Excuse me.
Yes.
What are you trying to do by showing a child someone being blown apart?
Well,
I am shocked at you.
It will get the child to go home to his parent.
I am sorry. That
say,
child is not going to go home to his
Look what President Bush is doing to children in Iraq.
No.
And then, through the grace of God and your help, Eleanor, and good Americans like you, you'll vote for...
The grace of God. I am a born-again Christian.
Well, are you...
I would never allow anybody to traumatize my children like this.
All right.
To go... You need to
if you're a born-again Christian, then why did you make fun of Howard Dean?
I did not make fun of Howard Dean.
Isn't this the lady who said she thought he looked like a fag or some word like that?
No one ever...
If you accuse me of that, young
ma'am,
man...
Ma'am, no, ma'am, I'm just
I would
saying.
Like to have your name and your address, and my lawyer will contact you.
All right, ma'am. My name is Dean Wheeler. That's
I have never said
Dean.
Anything like
I believe,
that.
I believe you said that you thought Howard Dean looked like a poofter.
My God. May God bless you, sir. I'm hanging up this phone.
Don't you want my address?
And he had better bless you well, because this is going to cost you plenty.
Well, ma'am,
Thank you. Goodbye.
I can tell you that...
Well, thank you very much for that, Dean.
What did I do?
What did you do? What did you do? She's now threatening to sue.
What is she going to say? I thought I heard her.
She didn't say any such thing, sir. And yet you make that claim.
You know, Phil, we're way off point here. George Bush did this. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. That lady didn't do it. George Bush, by blowing the Iraq, that kid up, by blowing the kid up, and then they made fun of Howard Dean.
All right, so you're saying you never would have passed out these pictures of this poor Iraqi child maimed through war if they hadn't made fun of Howard Dean.
It pissed me off, yeah.
And so because you're angry at people for making fun of Howard Dean, you're going to go out, show their kids pictures of this child, they'll cry to their parents, and their parents, out of guilt, will vote for Howard Dean?
I will tell you this much. They'll either vote for Howard Dean out of guilt, or they will vote for Howard Dean because they believe in Howard Dean. But I think that he is the best man that I have ever met in politics. And for people to say he screamed like a pillow-biting queen, in my opinion.
All right, we'll take a break, sir.
Yes.
1-800-449-8686. Talking with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Alternative Solutions Retreat, the NCASR. About Dean's campaign to hand out pictures of Iraqi children maimed in battle at middle schools and high schools because the kids need to see them. If the kids see them, they will be affected by them emotionally and they will convince their parents that George Bush has to go. What do you think? Anybody shows my kid a picture like this, I'm going to find him and I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm not saying I'm getting violent. I'm going to find him and I'm going to talk to him about it. I don't think that kids, you know, today we're sexualizing kids. We're doing everything. They can't be adults fast enough, for God's sake. We've taken every shred of childhood away from them. Why? I don't know why. Because we got bigger problems, I guess. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler with me from the Northern California Alternative Solutions Retreat. I got some phone calls to get to, but I want to talk to you a little bit, Dean, about the nature of this. The fact that you say that once these children see how horrible war is, they'll go to their parents, cry about it, and then everyone will know that you're right. Do you think this is about you?
No, it is, Phil. No, it is not about me.
Well, that's what, you know...
It's about Howard Dean, but, Phil, I come from San Francisco. I was born and raised here. I started the Northern California Alternative Solutions Retreat when I left the armed forces.
Were you in the armed forces? You were in what?
I was in the United States Army.
Did you see combat?
No, sir, I did not. No, I left... the U.S. Army. I was given a what is called a D&D.
Dishonorable discharge?
Yes. It was a Section 8.
You were Section 8 out of the Army, which means they thought you were nuts.
Because they are fascists, and they think everyone's crazy who doesn't agree with them, that's all. But I will tell you this, Phil. I come from San Francisco. We don't hurt children here. We enjoy children more than you'll ever know. But I have to show them this child blown to bits because they made fun of Howard Dean, and I don't think that's Christian, and it certainly doesn't cover the tenets of the other major religions of the world.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Veronica, go ahead, Veronica.
Mr. Wheeler, I just
yes.
have basically one point, is that
okay.
I think that you're traumatizing these young children to make a political point of voting for Howard Dean, which are two totally separate issues, but you're traumatizing the young children, and I think that you would probably also be the type that says, well, let's not show, let's say, the partial birth abortion type pictures, which also traumatize children, traumatizing.
Are you showing children those pictures?
I would never show an innocent child.
Well, no, you just said that you did, though.
No, I didn't.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. She said she thinks it's more valuable to show abortion pictures to a child.
No, I said
I'd be
you
happy to
would,
do that if you had some.
I said
but
you
I,
would
no,
not.
She said you.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Excuse me. Please don't interrupt me.
No, but you're saying
you're interrupting
that I didn't say,
me.
You interrupted
when I'm
me.
Making a point.
No, you interrupted me, and I'm saying that.
No, wait a minute, Mr. Wheeler. The lady made a point comparing the picture from Iraq. Okay.
Have you seen these pictures that we've got, Veronica?
No, I have not, and I certainly
you
don't
really
want
need,
to.
You'd really ought to.
Why?
First of all, I guess you're not going to like this because Mr. Henry has twisted this conversation. We've had some full color shots done. We've blown them up poster board size, and we wanted to put them into a coffee table book so that the children have access to see what the devastation of war looks like. Otherwise, we're lying to them. Otherwise, they think war is just, oh, I think I'll go to the video game and kill Iraqi.
Now, would you also include
Wait. Did you say you want to put these into a coffee table book?
Yes. Why not?
Would you also include the World War II, where the Jews were total annihilated?
Well,
would you also
seen,
include...
Haven't you seen those?
Of course I've seen them.
Well, then what, do you want to see them again? How sick are you?
Veronica, no, I'm saying
get,
that...
Well, you want to see dead Jews, I'm giving you a dead Iraqi.
I'm saying, are you going to include the whole war picture rather than putting it into a political program?
No, because this is about getting Howard Dean elected. I don't know where you've been, but that's what I've been talking about. And the only way we get, if you have abortion photos, I'd be happy to include them in the book. But I can't promise you what, whatever your kick is. I mean, I'm not judging you.
See, you're
this is not
you're
her
not
kick.
Listening.
No, the lady said she had abortion photos, and she said, "Why would I use
not.
Those?" You said, "Would I use those?" Did you not say that, or am I going crazy?
I said, "Now,
okay.
If you'll listen to me, I said you're probably the type that would not allow people to see abortion pictures, but you would allow them to see
no.
war
no,
pictures."
No, I'll include the
and
abortion
I never
pictures
said
into the
anything,
book if you want me to.
I never said anything about me having pictures
can
of anything.
No, can I say something?
Go ahead.
I'm not judging Veronica if she has abortion pictures, and that's her freak, that's her thing. I'm
and
simply
thank you
saying
for putting words
wait,
in my mouth.
She didn't say she had abortion pictures.
Well, then what is she talking about?
Well, if
do you,
you
want
would
me to put
listen,
them in the book?
All right, Veronica, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. What, are you going to put abortion pictures in the coffee table book, too?
Mr. Henry, this is not about me. This is about how we can get Howard Dean to stop the juggernaut of the Bush war machine and how little kids will know that I'm right. I'm from San Francisco. I'm not going to hurt anybody. And that woman, if her kick is looking at aborted babies, good. I'll put them in the I'll put a special index in for them.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
All right, I'm back with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Alternative Solutions Retreat. Mr. Wheeler, you said you had something you wanted to say about, you said you had an announcement you wanted to make?
Well, I told your producer that, I'll tell you what, in about 2 minutes I'm going to make you feel really stupid, and I don't want to do it, Phil, but the things you've been accusing me of trying to scandalize kids... I've told you where I'm from. It doesn't seem to have an impact. I told you about the Bush war machine. You're not listening. I told you that John Kerry is a war criminal. You're not listening. They made fun of Howard Dean, and you're still not listening. So in about 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you...
You're the one that's passing out pictures of a baby blown up in Iraq and giving them to school kids in the hopes that they'll show them to their parents and say, please vote for Howard Dean, Mommy and Daddy. I don't want to see any more kids killed.
I told you I'm from San Francisco.
I know you're from San Francisco. 1-800-449-8686. Charles, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And I have 2 points. The first one is, as a parent, if I was to spank my child in public or to even raise my voice in a threatening way towards my child, I could be subject to arrest.
I wasn't aware of that.
So what gives you the right, number one, to basically hand the child something like that and then scream at the top of your lungs like Howard Dean did and then expect nothing to happen? And then two, you say that you're from San Francisco, you say that you wouldn't do anything ever to harm a child, but do you know that there's an organization called NAMBLA, also based in San Francisco, that say basically the same thing? But you know what? Just like you, they get off on traumatizing children.
Well, NAMBLA, you know, I've seen a couple of those guys at some golf tournaments. I think you've got a lot of them. You know, I realize I don't agree with what they do, but if you sit down and have a drink with them, they can be a lot of fun.
And you know what? And I think that's what you've done. You've had one.
What do you mean you went to golf tournaments with them?
Well, a lot of the NAMBLA guys will buy a foursome. But I want to say to Charles more than anything else, Charles, what would you say if I told you that the picture of the Iraqi baby, okay, are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm listening.
Was actually a hamburger that I threw on the sidewalk and photographed.
Then I would say either you're lying to everybody else, in which case you are a fraud, if you're telling the truth, then you're still a fraud because that's the kind of thing that could still... you should be liable for loss. You're definitely leaving yourself open to lawsuits.
So you're telling me I ought to be sued for showing a kid a picture of hamburger? Oh, boy.
And screaming at the top of their lungs like that?
Yeah, let me hear that.
Especially if it is not your child?
So you go up to the kid, you show him a picture of this
baby. Okay, you know what? I'll give you an example.
Hold on, Charles,
Charles, it would be the same thing. It would be the same thing if I approached your child and did the same thing. What would your reaction be? Your reaction would not be to vote for somebody else.
All right, let me tell you what happens.
Your reaction would be to kick my butt.
Let me tell you the three-step program.
Because I know that if you did that to any of my children, that's the first thing I would want to do.
But I'm from San Francisco. I have a nation.
You know what? That's right. You're from San Francisco. That's the land of fruit and fairies.
You want to kick my... Oh, listen to
you. You need to stay right where you are.
All right, now hold on. This is what we do. I walk up. I say, look at this poor baby. Blown to bits by George Bush. Vote for Dean. Now, what is wrong?
And if Dean has people like you campaigning for him, he has no chance in hell of winning the White House.
Now you've just insulted him again. So now...
Now what?
Now I have to go show more pictures to children.
No, I didn't insult Dean. I insulted you.
You called me a fruit.
I called you a pathetic excuse for a human being.
A twisted old
fruit.
That's
exactly what you are.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Charles, what city do you live in?
Why does it matter to you? So long as it's
maybe
more
I'd like to
than yours.
Maybe I've got some pictures to show your kids.
You know what? I got a foot to put up your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Charles, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Roger. Roger, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, Mr. Wheeler?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now I want you to listen to me real close.
Oh, yes, sir, of course.
Okay. I was in the military for 30 years. I was in Korea, Vietnam, and Okinawa, and World War II.
Okay.
Now I want you to listen real close to what you're saying.
Okay.
George Bush did not do that. It might have been something because of the war, but he definitely didn't do it. So that is a lie right there. And the next place is... When you show this picture to these children, you're doing the same thing as being violating them with sexual or anything else. You should be put in prison because you are violating the children.
Roger, I eat nothing but sprouted seven-grain bread. I get up in the morning and do a variety of postures and Pilates. And to suggest that I abuse children...
You are abusing them. Everybody knows that. If you had a brain in your head, you would understand this is abusing a child. It traumatizes them.
Now, Roger, this is Phil Henry. You're a veteran, sir, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, I got another veteran on the line, also a Korean War vet. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, meet Roger.
Yes, sir, Roger. How are you doing?
Well, I'm really upset. I've never called a talk program before.
Yeah, I listened to this guy, this joker they got on the radio right now who keeps saying he's from San Francisco, and personally... I wouldn't go across the street to piss on the whole city myself, but...
I'd like you to watch your language, too.
I'm very sorry, but what this man is saying, he's not showing a picture of an Iraqi baby. He said he took a picture of hamburger meat.
That's totally irrelevant. He's been saying it was a baby. How about the 2 million-plus people at Saddam Hussein gassed to death and laying in the streets? Why don't you show pictures of that?
Well, I agree with you. Let me tell you, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But this guy, you know, and another thing.
Can I jump in, Phil?
Go ahead.
Saddam Hussein, yes, he gassed people. You're right. But we really forced him to do that because...
Who forced him to do it?
America did. We forced him into that.
You know,
he didn't want to do it. He didn't really want to do it. Look at what we did to Howard Dean. If Howard Dean gasses a number of people in Vermont, I won't be shocked.
Wait a minute. That's the craziest
bunch of garbage I've ever heard in my life.
Well, let's let Roger say something.
Is this the host?
I'm the host, yes, sir.
Okay, well, sir, I respectfully request
that
you quit. Take this guy is out of his mind. You cannot talk to him.
Absolutely. This man is, you know what I used to do with guys like you? I was in the United States Navy. We used to take you guys down in an alley and go through your pockets, take all the money, and leave you with no pants on. That's what we do with a guy like this.
You think so, huh?
Did you
hear what I said? I was in Vietnam, I was in Korea, and I was World War II, and I'm still alive. There's a lot of dead people behind me, buddy.
Who? Who are you?
This is the Roger, the other veteran.
Oh, I thought it was the guy who had the pictures.
Thank you.
I want to say something. Saddam Hussein is a victim of the horrible propaganda machine, which is run by the warmonger Bush. You know that, Roger, and I know
he's not a warmonger.
Oh, what the hell kind of gobbledygook is that? You know, you sound like the kind of fruit that thinks Michael Jackson is all that and a bag of GD chips, don't you? Don't you?
No, I'm not going to be...
I'm sorry I got upset at you because you are really an asset to the Republicans, to George Bush, because everyone that hears you talking like this now... I would say I'd never vote for a Democrat as long as I live.
Hey, Roger, I don't want to interrupt you, but you know who's on the television? My wife's got the Fox News. I don't know if you ever see the Fox deal.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, they got that Tammy Faye Baker. Now, let me ask you a question.
What?
Is that a piece of ass or what?
Apologize, sir. There's millions of people listening.
There's a lot of women listening, yeah.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but I've got to the point in my life where I just don't give a sweet Christ any longer, you know?
No, but I do.
Yeah, but this gentleman, Roger, is a gentleman, and he doesn't want to hear that, okay?
No, I do. I care about this country.
Also, I think it's a horrible way to speak about one of our female of the species. Women are just like men, except they have to squat and, you know, do those things.
Can I talk to the host again for a second?
Yeah, I'm right here, sir.
Well, in the meantime, you know what I should talk
about. Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, is the host on now?
Yes, I'm right here, sir. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead, sir.
I want to say is...
I think a guy like you ought to be taken out and shot. Well, yeah. You don't understand what it is.
Go ahead. They're talking in the background.
Anyhow, I want
to
talk to
you two guys not talk in the background?
Who, me?
Are you talking to me?
Yes!
The host there?
I'm right here, Roger. Go ahead.
Okay, what I would say is the more I hear this, the more thankful I am for him because... Anyone that hears him that would vote for a Democrat has got to be out of their mind. This guy he shouldn't be allowed loose on the streets. Forgive me, sir.
Because I've always enjoyed sex.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Roger.
What
are you guys talking about? What are you all of a sudden getting this card now?
Look, Phil, we're really off the point. The point here that I've been trying to make is that...
I don't care what the point you're trying to make. You're talking to this guy about something, and I'm trying to talk to the other guy. What do you mean you've always liked sex?
That's none of your beeswax.
Well, what are you talking to him about it for?
He's from San Francisco.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. So we're going to go into the stale gay jokes now?
No, we're not going into the stale gay jokes. Didn't I just say I thought Tommy... didn't I just get done saying that I thought Tommy... The guy from Motley Crue's a piece of ass?
No, you said Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, okay. Isn't that his name?
Who?
The guy from the thing.
Tommy Faye Baker? No, that's Tammy Faye Baker.
Well, who's the guy from Motley Crue?
Tommy freaking Lee.
You know, know, Phil, San Francisco to me has never represented anything other than a wonderful place to go and have a weekend. And my wife is here, and I'd like to sing now.
Phil, can I just give out our phone number for George Bush is a warmonger? That's post office box.
Hold on. Go ahead.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. See, there you go, right away. Gay. And it's not a surprise.
All right, thanks very much, both you guys. If you want more information about the Northern California Alternative Solutions Retreat, can you make that title any longer? Give us a call. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bob Green was on our show yesterday. He owns a restaurant called, I don't know what the hell it's called. Bob Green's Meatball Shack? In any event, he said that Channel 19's investigative reporters found rat rodents and all kinds of crap in his kitchen. He said it wasn't his fault. He was bereaved because his wife died over the summer, and she did all the cleaning, and so he thinks it was unfair of them to publicly portray his restaurant as lousy and unclean since he sells 300 meatball sandwiches a day.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I work in an open kitchen. It's a deli. We make everything from scratch. It's in a grocery store.
Okay.
And the customers can see every single thing that happens. If you come back from a break and you don't wash your hands, they see it. Every single thing you do there is being watched by the customers, and I think it's a great situation, and the food we put out is very healthy and clean, and I'm very concerned because your guest seems to not be in a state where he can even properly staff his business so that the facility gets cleaned.
No, but you're missing my point. I said to the other guy, he eats in 5-6 restaurants a week. He doesn't care if he eats a cat sandwich so long as it tastes good. Now, I would ask you, if you work in a full-service deli, and I imagine the owner's Jewish?
No.
Because I figure he'd want to cut costs. He would be...
Wait. So far on my program, you know, the Chinese guy this, the Mexican that, the Vietnamese that, and now the Jewish owner of the deli wants to cut costs.
I don't understand.
Well, if you don't understand, I'd like to have the racial references and the ethnic references at a minimum.
All right, let me rephrase. Suppose whoever owns your deli brought in a cat carcass and said, I want you to start...
Well, actually, we're an employee-owned business.
Right. Well, what if the guy who is the managing partner, let's say, said, let's start serving up cat because who's going to know the difference in our Philly cheesesteaks? You know that...
I know what goes on behind the counter in the kitchen, and we do not serve cat. We only serve... the highest quality.
What are you laughing?
And produce.
You know, you laugh about it, but you can understand what I'm saying. The money you can save. Look, you know the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, Phil? You've had them.
Yeah, I've had them.
You know the little bits of beef that they call that steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, I fail it.
Look, you go to a place, you say, yeah, you want a Philly cheesesteak? I go, yeah, sure. What do you mean? What do you mean steak? I know the cheese, but what's this? The steak is the little strips of beef. I'm going to tell you this right now because I've heard it from at least two independent sources. Most of the Philly
Philly cheesesteaks. We have our own special, and I see that the meat comes from Oregon country beef.
Is
it's
it
grown
steak?
Right here in Oregon. It's free range meat. It's fresh.
Most,
I see them cut it up and cook it, and I just can't feel good about honestly telling our customers that our food is fresh, that it's healthy, that it's not going to make you sick.
Most of the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches sold in America are some version of cat meat. You think your deli's so great because you serve right in front of the customer. Customers don't know the difference between a scoop of tuna or a scoop of stir-fried dog. They wouldn't know, oh yeah, you want a tuna sandwich? And you could be digging into a pile of, it could be someone's hamster.
So what I'm saying...
Look, this is absurd, and it all takes the point off of what we're trying to talk about, and this lady thinks you're mentally disturbed. You shouldn't be running a business because, you know...
I'll bet you that at least 40% of the time your Philly cheesesteak sandwich was beating around a rubber mouse before you bit into it. Are you blowing your nose on the phone, into your hand, or what's going on there?
I was using a tissue.
All right.
And I think that you really need to reconsider your life. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of problems. And I think that running a business right now is obviously too much for you to handle if you can't properly staff your restaurant.
Well, ma'am, I will say
this. You can be a very, very angry person. I would hate to be somebody that has to work for you.
I think there is anger there.
Well, I think it's a heck of a world where a man is accused of being mentally disturbed because he objects to you piling a bun high with cat meat. Go ahead and pile it high and deep.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's good stuff. Pile it high and deep. Speaking of that, did you see What About Bob was on TV the other night, which I think the movie's fantastic. Scene there. Something having to do with high and deep. I'm sorry I brought it up. All right, so that's Bob Green, and you can find that in the archives of our Best of Stuff on the Phil Hendry Show website. We have probably more material from our show than any other radio show on the planet. That's number one. But the material we have on our website from our show is of real high quality. So that also sets us apart from most other radio shows who have very little material of actual audio material from their show on the website because, you know, it ain't all that great, and why would you want to hear it again, right? Our website is about our show, and go to it, www.philhenryshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop, and you might want to pick up the Death of Talk Radio, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, or you can call 877-616-7445. I got to go.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Where do you work right now?
So I work right now at Mountain Valley Wash, but I'm also going to LA Canyon College.
And you're studying criminal justice?
Yes, sir, right.
Because you want to be a police officer?
Yes, sir, that's correct, yes. Eventually I want to get my AA degree and go to the LA Police Academy in Elysian Park.
Now, you had an argument with your criminal justice teacher, and this has to do with your job working at a car wash?
Well, I had an argument with my criminal justice professor, Dr. Stone, and to what theft is, okay? Because I'm eventually going to be LAPD, which has been my dream my whole life, okay? I wanted to, you know, tell him, I work at Mountain Valley Wash, like I was telling you. I work on the wash line. But now my job is generally working a vacuum, and then I drive the car out onto the belt, right? And then it goes on to the car wash.
You're the guy that vacuums the car and then drives it out into the thing while the people wait.
Yes, sir.
All right, what was the debate about?
A lot of people don't understand that when you work at a car wash, and most of the people don't tip, a lot of these women that come, you know, with SUVs or what have you. So I explained to the professor, if I see change left on a change tray or what have you, or for instance a CD or what have you in the front passenger seat that I might particularly like. Like if I saw a CD that I might particularly like, you know, 50 Cent or Christina Aguilar, it's tradition in my community to view that as a tip.
Okay, but see, that's the thing. That's, your professor contends that that's stealing. If you're working at a car wash, driving people's cars into the thing, you can't take change off the tray.
No, because...
And your professor says that's stealing. I agree with him.
No, he says that's stealing, and I'm trying to explain, and I have to explain to you, too. Okay, let me explain it to you. Possession, I'm going to be LAPD, which means...
All right, you want to be a police officer, so you need to know the law.
Yeah, so, excuse me, but I think I have a little bit more, you know, knowledge, okay, than you... about it. What I'm trying to say is, okay, possession is 9 points of the law. What that means is, and also the people who come into the car wash, they got like these attitudes, you know, that they're better than me. I mean, we work like slaves at these car washes. And many of the women will come, for instance, a lot of the housewives will come in there, and they dress, you know, provocatively, and what they're trying to do is to tease us, you know. And I, you know, how's a guy supposed to live off that? Well, I'm going to L.A. Canyon College, and also additionally to that, I'm paying child support to a woman who wasn't even my wife. We did have a kid, tragically, but I don't know why she's not my wife. I should have to pay that. Okay.
Well, look, the women, let's get back to your discussion here about the taking change. The women who come into the car wash dressed provocatively, I don't think they're coming in there dressed that way to tease you guys.
Well, no, sir, I believe that they are.
You think they are, so therefore, they're basically, you're taking a gratuity from them?
Look, when this bitch got out of, and I'm sorry, sir.
Please watch your language, sir.
I'm sorry, but this one woman got out of some raised up SUV. She got a little skirt on, and she got sunglasses, and now she's talking to me, right? And she's basically saying, hey, please, go ahead, go into my car. Help yourself to a gratuity. Because I'm not going to say it. They don't even talk to you.
Look, no doubt that working at a car wash is a thankless job. I don't doubt that at all.
Well, I don't think you could possibly know. I don't think anybody that comes into a car wash knows what it is. It's like nobody cares about you. The women show up dressed provocatively. A lot of them are wearing very short skirts and tight pants and everything. If their husbands could see them, I'm sure that we'd be beaten by their husbands. And they come in their SUVs, they're on their cell phones talking, and you sit there and you're like, man, and she won't even give you the time of day, man. Then on top of that, the men come to the car wash and they won't even look you in the eye. They just give you the keys. They're on a cell phone. And in my community, I have to say at this time, Mr. Henry, that's a big sign of disrespect.
And look, like I said, working in a car wash can't be great. But people who come into car washes, in my experience, are there to get their car washed. They're in a hurry.
No, I mean, there's no other place where you go where you're treated like dirt. I could work anywhere. I won't be treated like dirt. But anyway, the point being...
But get back to the point. You think because of all of what you have to put up with at a car wash that it is legal for you to pilfer items out of cars that you're driving into the wash?
Absolutely, sir.
Is this widespread?
It's traditional in my community.
Well, I believe your law professor is saying that it's stealing, and I agree with him. And that's your criminal justice professor? How could you argue with him? You're a student.
Well, basically, you have to remember again, I'm going to be LAPD, okay? And I'm going to go to the police academy and everything, okay? And if you're a cop, you got to understand the law. Plus, he is a professor, yeah, but at a junior college, which means he couldn't get a job at a regular college, okay? So, you know, you got to take bits and pieces of what he's saying, because a lot of it, he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
All right. Well, I'm going to give our number out here, David. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with a man who works at a car wash. He says the disrespect that is heaped on him and his workmates allows him to pilfer legally from cars. And we're talking about taking CDs.
Well, let me emphasize, Phil. When I take change out of the change tray, or I help myself to a cigarette, or I helped myself to some hand lotion. Like one time last week, there was some hand lotion. I just squeezed some out. I helped myself to it. Are you trying to tell me that's stealing? Are you trying to...
Well, I mean, it's somebody else's possession. You know, I mean...
There's a whole bottle of hand lotion, and I squeezed a little onto my hands. I saw a pack of cigarettes. I grabbed a cigarette. And at most, when we're talking about getting change out of the change tray, at most, you get a buck and a half, $2. Which is nothing, and it shows how cheap everybody is that comes in. This bitch that came, or I don't mean to say bitch, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have to watch your language, sir.
Well, you know, she isn't going to give you a gratuity, and she isn't going to wash her own car. So in my community, it's traditional to help yourself to a gratuity while you're driving the car from the vacuum to the belt.
All right, David Oliva. David, I wish you a success, but people are not just going to understand this. I think most people are going to agree with your criminal justice professor that this is, even squeezing out the hand lotion, even doing something like that, technically it does not belong to you. I realize that working at a car wash sucks.
Well, I'm not like a lot of these immigrants who are going to work there forever. I'm going to be LAPD. All the people listening to your show have to remember, okay, when they go to a car wash, just remember this. Possession is 9 points of the law, and you're not quite as focused on things that an aspiring police officer would be. All the people listening to your show right now, all you need to know, you know, is possession's 9 points of the law. Because, you know, I have to tell the people that are listening to your show, the only thing you people know is what you see on TV. I hate to tell you, that's not the real world, okay? Okay, so, you know, a lot of the people listening to your show right now, like, you know, the one woman who dresses hot, she don't get it, okay?
All right, Dave, have you been reprimanded for this?
For what?
For what you say, helping yourself to a gratuity?
No, everybody does it. You have to understand. Nobody ever notices the change is gone. And if they do, and they bitch about it, oh my God, how cheap are you? Hey, yeah, excuse me. What happened to the 43 cents that was in my change? Oh my God, what a cheap bastard. One time I got some sunglasses from a Mercedes, you know?
Well, you know, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Vicky. Vicky, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. You're talking to Dave. Dave works over here at Mountain Valley Wash. Go ahead, Vicky.
Dave, I just have a comment for you. What you're doing is no different than walking across the street to your neighbor's house, busting out their window, taking their radio.
No way.
It's in their car. It belongs to them.
How am I busting anything? I didn't bust nothing.
You took it out of their car. It's their property. You removed it. If you're going to be a police officer, you should know this.
Well, ma'am, you're wrong, okay?
No, I'm not. My uncle is a state trooper. My dad works in the correction facility.
In what state?
Done that to me and I walked to that car wash, your butt would be in jail.
Could I ask you what state that your uncle's a trooper in, ma'am?
My uncle is a trooper in the state of Virginia. My dad works in the Virginia Department of Corrections. I live in Tennessee.
The law's different
in
Tennessee.
I live in California. Okay. I know the state law.
The law is different in Tennessee from Virginia.
It's different in California. But you know what? I studied law, too. I know the law. You're wrong.
I'm going to be LAPD, okay? I mean, what are you talking about?
Not if you keep stealing stuff out of people's car. How do you get to go arrest somebody for burglary when you're doing the same thing?
Ma'am, first of all,
get your way through there.
You don't understand the traditions of my community.
But just because they left a cell phone on the table does not mean that I had the right to take it. I put it up.
Okay, are you telling me that you're so cheap, you're going to bitch about, like, 42 cents in your change tray? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
42 cents could be the difference between me buying diapers for my child. You don't know their circumstances.
Yeah, more likely more likely a box of macaroni and cheese or something for yourself, okay? And that's what I'm trying to say. You can't.
If I wanted to give you a tip because you were a good person at the car wash, I would give you a tip. But that doesn't give you the right to go through my stuff in my car and take it up on yourself. You're not getting a tip because you're sitting there drooling all over everybody that comes in, and you have an attitude.
Maybe
if you were nicer, you would get a tip from these people.
Okay, you're making a very classic mistake, miss, if I could point it out. You're saying it's my fault. These women come in, and the skirt, you can see everything, up the panties and everything. What is that about? They want to
Maybe they had just got back from working out. Maybe they went, you know,
they want to
with some friends. You don't know what they did before they got there.
I'm sure
they went at home and said, oh, I'm going to go to the car wash because Dave's there, and I'm not going to wear any panties. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Ma'am, I can tell you as an aspiring police officer, these women want to drive the car wash worker insane. They want to drive him insane by showing him everything. And then when we try to take a little for ourselves, you call me a thief. I think you're wrong. I think you need to relook at the law of Virginia.
I think you need to read. You need to go back and study English and reread the law.
Oh, study English? I was born in America. Where were you born?
I was born in America, too.
Oh, it doesn't sound like it to me.
When you're going through your college classes, you didn't bother to read the law like I did when I studied law.
Well, if you studied law, how come you flunked out of the law school?
I didn't flunk out of law school. Did I tell you I flunked out of law school?
Are you a lawyer?
No, I know the law.
Are you a lawyer?
Really, you're not going to make it into the...
Are you a lawyer?
If you can't
follow instructions, and you can't prosecute somebody for
the same thing
that you're doing.
Thanks, Vicki. 1-800.
But I didn't ask that woman if she was a lawyer.
Yes, you did. She didn't want to answer. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. We are talking with David Oliva. He works at a car wash. He goes to school studying criminal justice to be a police officer, among other things. But he tells me that it is, quote, and I'm quoting him, it's traditional in his community to help yourself to a gratuity. And what that means is when you are driving the car from the vacuum into the car wash and the owner is inside paying, if you see some change in the change tray, you can help yourself to it. If there's a CD lying out. He said he helped himself to a cigarette out of some cigarettes he saw. Helped himself to some hand lotion that he saw. He got into an argument with his law, his criminal justice professor, I should say, who said it is technically stealing. Dave says, no, it's not stealing, and Dave ought to know because he's going to be a police officer someday. So if you come out of the car wash and you say to yourself, what happened to that $2 in quarters I had? Maybe that's it. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
My guest this hour is a young criminal justice student from L.A. Canyon College who is eventually going to apply to L.A. Police Academy to become a member of the Los Angeles Police Department. His name is Dave, who also works at a car wash where he says it is traditional in his... When you say your community...
Well, I just mean like, you know, everybody who, you know, of our, you know... Miraza, you know. Do you speak Spanish? Or?
No.
Well, I can't explain it.
Okay, so anyway, you say that it is traditional to help yourself to a gratuity.
Mr. Henry, let me explain it this way.
Then I got to get to a call.
Okay, but let me explain it to you this way. And I hope this will probably clear it up for a lot of your listeners because I've been talking to a few, that one lady, and I can tell they don't, you know, they're totally out of it. Okay. When you go to the car wash, you see a sign that says, not responsible for personal property. Okay? That means if you leave it in your car, you know, we're not responsible for it, okay? So if I see a cigarette and you don't give me no tip, yeah, you know, I'm not responsible for it. You're not responsible. Nobody's really responsible for it. You know, it's just there. And so...
Are you trying to tell me that once I leave my car and it just goes off into the car wash, my stuff is up for grabs?
Technically, no, not all of it, but stuff that's just you've obviously left out. I'm not going to go digging through your trunk, although one time, I will tell you this lady came in a Rolls Royce, because we do a hand wash job. We do the best hand wash job in all of the San Fernando Valley. She came in a Rolls Royce. She didn't give nobody no tip, so we went into the trunk. I mean, on that one, yeah, we would go into the trunk. And we found golf clubs and this kind of stuff.
Did you take her golf clubs?
No, sir, but I mean, we looked around. We looked around for stuff that we wanted. I don't want no golf clubs. That's stupid. I don't play golf or anything, but...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Gloria, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, I just want to comment, Dave. I have to tell you that my son is an L.A. policeman, been an LAPD guy for about 5 years.
So he could explain this to you then.
He's a great guy,
yeah.
But I'll tell you something. He's the most honorable guy in the world.
Of course.
And he wouldn't take... No, Dave, let me finish.
Of course he is.
This guy, Dave, let me finish.
That's the best police department.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because these guys have honor, and you'll never make it. Because you would help yourself because you feel entitled. Nobody is entitled to anything that Dave's passion left me listen. Shut up and listen to me.
Ma'am, don't pretend.
Nobody
quit pretending
is
like you don't know what I'm talking
David,
about.
David, shut up.
Hey, listen.
Dave, shut up
Hey, white
people
woman.
Are
you know, people talk to me like that
me.
At the car wash all day long, okay? You shut
you know
up.
Dave,
why don't you
I
shut
go to
up,
car
okay?
Dave,
hey,
listen,
if you have a stroke
what?
In your car, okay, and it goes into the car wash and you
know
forget
what?
To put the top up, you're going to look
Dave,
pretty stupid coming
Dave,
out the other side.
You're not going to be
unless
able to
I'm there,
on the radio
okay?
If you don't shut up because...
Hey, are you the host of the show? No, I guess maybe you're not.
Look, at the lady wanted you, and you know what, Gloria? Don't tell anybody to shut up. I'll tell people to shut up.
That's right. That's
so shut up.
This guy won't let you...
Get lost, you hag. Here is a...
Yeah, way to go.
Well, why don't you shut up? Now you're making me be angry at people.
Well, I really like the way you put that bitch.
God, will you, watch your language, too, will you? Here is Troy. Go ahead, Troy.
All right. Here's the deal, buddy. You chose to work at a car wash, okay?
Are you a cop?
You're taking a chance of people not tipping you, okay? I'm a server.
Oh, get out of here, man. You know what I'm talking about. Are you?
No, just listen to me for a second. I'm a server. I chose to be a server. I'm taking the chance of not getting tipped sometime. But I'm not. If somebody doesn't tip me, I'm not going to enter it in on their credit card thing because that's stealing, man. And what you're doing is stealing.
Don't you bitch about it?
It's wrong.
Don't you bitch about it?
Well, I might get upset, but that doesn't mean I'm going to steal money from them on their credit card. And no, I'm not really going to get upset because at the end of the day, I did fine.
Well, you should. You should, man.
I feel fine because I know that I did an honest day's work. And
you know what,
man? And say that you did an honest day's work.
I'd like to give you a copy of a book on why you have a right to, you know, enter on their credit card thing.
No, I don't have a right,
man.
That's credit card fraud.
Yes, you do, man.
That's credit card fraud, man.
Well, that's what they tell you, man, but they're lying to you because they don't want you to have no tips. You can technically put down up to $100.
No,
you can't.
That's fraud.
You're the type of guy. You're going to get walked on, Troy, unless you...
You pay attention to your professors.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare. The Phil Henry Show is back.
If a car wash guy takes stuff out of your car while he's driving it into the car wash, is that stealing or is he helping himself to a gratuity? Dave, you work at a car wash. You are an aspiring police officer with the LAPD. I take it you really admire the LAPD.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. I mean, that's the best police department that there ever has been. And I'll be LAPD someday.
All right. Tell me the story about the guy you had his gum.
Yeah, this guy, I was driving out of the wash with his car. He had a 900 series BMW, okay? And he had some gum laying on the dash, so I took about two pieces, and he came up while we were doing the post, okay? We're doing the post on the wheels. We were hitting the wheels, also the vinyl belts on his engine, because he wanted those done, okay? And he says, what are you doing with the gum? I go, I said, excuse me, sir, you know, first of all, back away from me, because he was getting kind of close.
And he was getting close because you were chewing his gum?
Yes, and I said, first of all, sir, you have to step away from me. Also, sir, you see the sign, it says we're not responsible for personal items. So, you know, I'm not responsible for your gum because you left it in the car.
But you're chewing it.
I'm chewing it, but we don't have responsibility. You can't tell me it's your fault. See what I'm saying? It's hard for people to understand. It really is. It's hard for people to get. That's why I can see everybody calling in. I don't want to say they're stupid because they're not stupid. They just don't understand.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Tammy. Hi, Tammy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just have something to say, Dave. I'm a registered nurse. I work in the emergency department.
Oh, with the hospital?
If you were to come into my emergency department after a motor vehicle accident or you had some kind of injury or whatever,
okay.
And you came in and
okay.
I took your pants from you, and is it okay for me to take whatever's in your pants? Because we're not legally responsible for any
right.
of your personal possessions, you know.
Okay, let me explain that to you.
Now,
first
you don't
of
have
all,
to explain that to me.
Let me explain, let me explain to you why you can't. You don't tip a
you
nurse.
You can't explain it to me.
You don't tip no nurse.
Unfortunately, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I do,
feeling
ma'am.
Is feeling. If you don't work for something or something is not physically given to you, it's not yours.
Well, ma'am,
period.
First of all, here's where you're wrong. Technically.
No, I'm not wrong.
May I reply to what you're saying? Because when's the last time you tip a nurse in an emergency room?
I've
that's the stupidest thing.
I won't accept it,
that's
but I have been
Of course you do.
No,
you've been tipped? Oh, my God, I've never heard of anything more stupid in my life.
That's not stupid, sir. That is intelligent.
You don't tip no nurse, okay? You do tip. You do
tip.
You're
obviously hanging around with,
you know, you wish,
with no morals.
Ma'am, you wish you worked for a car
wash. Like,
if you want to get tipped, work for a car wash. What are you talking about?
Excuse me?
What are you talking about? If you want to...
Wait a minute. Let me jump in. Tammy is saying that if she took money out of your pocket...
No, I heard her say that, sir, but she can't do that because you don't tip nurses. I never tip. What, I'm going to go in there with my leg hanging out and go, oh, my God, I'm all ripped up. Here's
God,
a $20 bill.
Job.
What?
If you've got $5 hanging out of your pants pocket, why can't I take it?
Okay, first of all,
if
a car wash guy gets tipped,
can't I?
A nurse doesn't get tipped. Second of all, my job is harder than yours technically, okay?
Oh, okay, your job's harder. All right. I save lives, you wash cars.
All day long, I'm taking crap from these, excuse me for saying
and
it.
And I don't take crap from people?
No, they're thanking you. Oh, thank you for saving my
life. Oh, yeah, you never worked in an emergency department.
What do you mean emergency department, man? What, do you work in the hosiery department, too? What are you
it's
talking about?
It's not an emergency department. It's the department of the emergency
That's
medicine.
That's the department of the hospital.
I thought it was the emergency room, okay? A lot of ossifers that go in for, gunshot wounds and that, they all call it emergency room.
It's not one single room. There's multiple rooms.
Really?
Yes.
Have you ever seen gunshot wounds and stuff?
I've seen gunshot
okay,
wounds,
right,
but
look,
I've got to tell you that
look,
you will, you have to have honesty and integrity to be a law enforcement officer, and someone who steals from other people does not have honesty and integrity.
Okay, I agree, but I'm not stealing, okay? So that's
that is
where you're
stealing
wrong.
When you're taking something
no,
that is not given
I'm
to you.
I'm helping myself to a gratuity. Now,
stealing.
Tammy, if you want a tip, why don't you start dancing in a nightclub, okay?
Why don't you start dancing in a nightclub?
Hey, man, I get tipped at my job. I don't know what your problem
is,
okay?
Well, obviously you're not getting tipped if you're having to steal.
Here's the other thing. Why are you worried? Are you telling me you get tipped if a guy comes in like his penis is cut off? He goes, hey, here's a 20 if you sew it back on. Is that what happens?
Don't be stupid, kid.
You're extremely ignorant.
Don't be stupid, all right?
No, but she's the one that...
Extremely ignorant.
You're the one that started the whole thing by saying, I don't go through people's pants and looking for money. You know something? I think
I'm just
maybe
making a. I'm just making a hypothetical point.
Yeah,
that
but
what you're doing is stealing.
You wouldn't have made that point had you not gone through a guy's pants once or twice.
I've never gone through anyone's pants to take anything.
Then how do you know there's anything in there?
Because we have to go through their personal items.
That's what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry.
Oh no, you're not. No. You're not understanding this woman at all. Not understanding her. Tammy, I got to move on. Thank you for your call. 1-800.
Okay, no, you see, don't talk down to me, okay?
No, look at Dave. I'm not trying to talk down to you.
No, you don't understand. I'm going to be LAPD, not you. If you were going to be LAPD, I'd listen to you. But you're not going to be LAPD, so you listen to me. I don't listen to you. You listen to me.
All right, okay. Let me go over here to O'Fair. O'Fair?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yeah, Dave, I just want to say, man, you're a thief. If you take possessions that belong to other people, then that's stealing.
How come it says we're not responsible for items left in the car? Yeah, see?
The company is not responsible for it. They don't want to be held. They know that they're not paying you a fair wage. That's actually what it is. If you deserve a tip. I agree that you deserve a tip. But if you take something that someone else has worked for, then it's cut and dry. It's stealing.
Well, how do you figure stealing if I help myself to some hand lotion? One time I took a pinch of chew that a guy had. Oh, sure. That's
okay.
Stealing?
Well, let me ask you this one simple question.
Okay.
All right. If I come in there and get my car washed.
Right.
And I give you a tip.
Okay.
And you've already taken $2 worth of change out of my car. Will you give me my $2 back?
Technically, I can't. Because at that point...
All right, then you're a thief.
Well, no, I can't because at that point, you didn't indicate to me that you would tip me. There
well,
was
I don't
no
know
exchange.
What kind of job you're going to do. Now, why would I tip you if you did a sloppy job on my car?
There was no exchange of friendship or indication that you would tip me.
No, wait a minute. You're not hearing the man's question. He doesn't tip you until after he sees what kind of a job you did on the car. Isn't that sensible? Isn't that right?
Well, technically you're supposed to, wink.
What do you mean you got to wink?
Yeah, you're making up rules as you go, man. You know, you you know, you're aspiring to be a policeman, and with your mentality, it's going to be easy for a criminal to come up to you and offer you something. If you think you can get away with it, then you're going to accept it.
Okay, let's say I get into your car, okay? And let's say I'm just listening to you. I'm figuring, what if you have like a Bootsy Collins 8-track tape, okay? Now, what
makes you think this man has a Bootsy Collins 8-track?
Well, I don't know. He sounds like he's an older black gentleman, I guess. I don't know. Am I right, sir?
What difference would that make?
I like Bootsy Collins.
Well, so you're going to rip this guy's Bootsy Collins 8-track off. Jesus.
You like Bootsy Collins. Okay, well, you know.
Hey, man.
My preference is jazz.
Oh, yeah, I'm not with that, okay, because I'm Latin.
There's a lot of Latin jazz people.
Well, if you count that guy that died of a heroin addiction, okay.
All right, listen. Fair, I think you made a very good point. I think you stopped the kid in his tracks.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. You did. You stopped him dead in his tracks.
I do believe.
You said, if you take the money and then I'm going to give you a tip, how are you going to feel when a man offers you a tip and you've got his money in your pocket? Like a thief?
Do you like Dizzy Gillespie?
Yes, I like Dizzy Gillespie.
Okay, because I don't know who he is. Is he a golfer?
Yeah, you know who he is because you just...
No, but I thought he was a golfer.
He's a jazz a trumpet player. Okay, O'Fair, thank you very much.
Do you like Stevie Wonder?
That ain't jazz.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, sir.
What about Ray Charles? Is he hung up now?
Yeah, he hung up. What a moron. I want to be LAPD. Technically, I can go and take anything out of your car because the sign says we're not responsible for any items. That basically means they can steal from you. I love it. By the way, I just want to go on record. My car wash is great. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Now I have to tell you a little bit about our website. The Phil Henry Show website, www.philhenryshow.com, is a place to go. If you want to learn more about our show, you can go to our audio archives, hear more about what we've done on our show in the past. Some groundbreaking legendary radio has been had here. Go to our archives and be a part of it. Be a part of the color and the pageantry. Then go to our souvenir shop and buy junk. Then get our best of CD. And then go to sleep. Have a nap. Now, with Valentine's Day coming up, may I make a suggestion? Why don't you get him a Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue set? That's right. This barbecue set, which I use, has got the hot dog tongs. It's got the big steak fork. It's got that really sweet spatula. You know, the kind that's got kind of a sharp edge to it so you can slide it under the burgers. And the spatula is good and deep, so you can get like three or four burgers on one spatula. We also have, I think there's a barbecue brush in there. And if you tandem that up with a Ted's of Beverly Hills apron, well, now, you know, he'll love you long and hard. I mean, he'll love you, you know, all the live long day. So all you got to do is go to the Phil Henry Show website, www.philhenryshow.com, and go to our souvenir shop. We also have official show stuff that you can buy. And there's all kinds of things on the website for you to avail yourself of. We have scrapbooks. You can see a little bit about my life and our life and all of your lives together. We have our wall of female listeners. The pictures come in dribs and drabs because, frankly, we got about 6 women that listen to our show. No, actually, according to our wall of female listeners, what do we have now? 60 women total across the United States.
Right around there. Yeah.
And they're all really great ladies. Yes, a few are lesbian, but what, are you going to hold that against me? Frankly, they're all women who like the company of men. Let me put it that way. Any woman who actually likes men as opposed to puts up with them. I really believe that about our show. The women that listen to the show, they actually like men. They don't just put up with us. They don't just sort of get us. No, these are women that genuinely understand the horror and torment that it is to be a man. Those are the listeners to this show. So it's all there at www.philhenryshow.com. I know I've made this announcement before, but let me just say it one more time. We have moved on XM Radio. We're now at Extreme Channel 152. It's called Extreme Channel 152. And we air 4 to 7 Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday, on XM. That's the business. Now, back to the body and bulk of the show. Couple demands halt. By the way, I just wanted to make this comment because Mark and I were talking about beaches. And I'm going over to the beach tonight, and Marie and I are going to spend the night in a little hotel and do kind of the couple thing, right? The mom and dad now become man and woman thing. And it's really great. Santa Monica is great because there's a bike path, and you can take the bike down to some of those bars in Venice and down further Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach. Have yourself a couple of pops, get back on the bike, and hope you make it home. And if you don't, you can just walk the bike back. But Mark was telling me that back east they have beach bars where you go out onto the sand. I mean, literally, the bar opens out onto the sand. So you can go up to the bar, have yourself a beer, go back out and play volleyball, but you're right out on the sand, right? We don't have, I was explaining to Mark, we don't have that here in California. And the reason why we don't have that here in California is because even though the beach is public property and belongs to everybody, we regulate it so strenuously that you can't have fun on it anymore. However, welcome to California. You can't drink. You can't smoke. There are people who live out in Malibu who seem to think they own part of the beach, and nobody's ever challenged them on it, which is hysterically funny, if you ask me. Can you believe that I was one of those dumbbells that went out to Trancas Beach one day with my wife and kids, and when some stupid-looking kid came up to me on an ATV and said, oh, you have to get off the beach and go over there to the easement, I believed him, and I went over there. Some dumbbell kid hired by these people that own houses on Trancas Beach with their leathery skin and their turtlenecks. And when I say turtleneck, I ain't talking about a nicely knit sweater either. And their ugly freaking tans and their old age moles and, oh, Jesus. And they think they own the beach, and they were kicking us off. And I saw a L.A. County Sheriff helicopter flying overhead. The assumption was, in my mind, I guess we're doing something illegal. If I'd had the presence of mind, I would have waved the helicopter down and say, do your duty and tell this kid to get out of my face before we take him out into the surf and sacrifice him as par the ritual we saw in Lord of the Flies. I'm going to sit that kid at the bottom of a cliff and roll a rock on him like they did Piggy. Remember Piggy?
Now, I come from a place called Salisbury, and Salisbury...
The only thing you see are the busted glasses. Poor Piggy. They made him take charge of the twins. The twins had to see Piggy get just smashed. Anyway, here in California, we have hundreds of miles of the most exquisite beach in the world, literally. And we also are not allowed to enjoy it to any great degree. Why, now there's a rule that you can't smoke on the beach. And why is that? Because there's cigarette butts in the beach. Yeah, there's cigarette butts, there's diapers, there's cups, there's saucers, there's plates, there's forks, there's knives. Are you not allowed to eat on the beach either? Are you not allowed to do anything? But smoking now, everybody is empowered to tell you that you're not allowed to smoke. Everyone can walk right up to you. I told you. Lately, nobody's coming up to me. I got the look on my face like, you walk up to me and tell me to put it out. It's going to be a very long discussion. Here's a couple, and where do they live? They're a pain in the ass. They live in where? Ohio. This couple is suing their next-door neighbor because they don't like the guy smoking in his own home. In his own home, the guy's smoking, but they can smell it. And their dog, according to this old guy who is suing, he's some 71-year-old University of Akron retired history professor. He says his dog can smell it, and it's hurting him, and it's a nuisance, and it's a this, and it's a that. Remember when I said to you the real problem is not the government? It's not the fascism of the government. It is the strident fascism of your neighbors, of this new age world we live in, where in the name of health and in the name of quality living, they're telling you how to live. Not Uncle Sam. but your next door neighbor. Some dried up old professor from the University of Akron, some old bitch that used to do something, some old guy that used to do something else, somebody else, somebody else, somebody else, some soccer mom, some guy who's this, some chick who's that. They're all telling you how to live. You want to start, you want to free yourself? Start by telling your neighbors to stick their freaking noses back into their own bedrooms. There. Forget about Uncle Sam. By the way, there's somebody looking in your window right now. And I think yep, it's Dean.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.